are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Everybody, you are listening to Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. It is Sunday night. I feel like it's already 2014. There's been so much going on, hasn't there? Well, tonight's going to be a good night because we've got Felonious Monk, Hunter Cross, My Mama, Mama Gina's coming up. Plus, we got Jason back, and you know his books, Carve the Turkey, Bitches, is his new holiday book. Remember, Get in the Kitchen, Bitches? Well, we've got so much to talk about. Plus, we've got a new song from our boy. He's just the best, Thomas Hibner. He sent me a new song, and I'm really looking forward to playing that tonight. Other than that, what's everybody up to? Are you ready for Thanksgiving? Are you ready for Hanukkah? Are you ready for the holidays? Talk to me at Max Tucci on Twitter. And let's discuss things and let's make things happen. Do y'all feel me? All right. Well, other than that, you know we've got some hot topics that we need to talk about, right? So, hey, Ronan, hit hot topics. How you doing, everybody? And then Felonious Monk is going to be here. Hot topics are going to be good. Y'all ready for hot topics? Let's go. Hot topics. Hot topics. Boop, boop. Well, he played it already. Hey, Ronan, I'm not hearing anything, so I'm just letting you know that right now. So we've got hot topics going on right now. I've got my headsets on, and I hope I'm hearing things right. But we've got Felonious Monk here. So, Felonious, how you doing?
What's going on? I'm old.
It's been a minute since we've spoken to you, right?
It is. The last time you talked to me, I was young. I'm old now. It's been too long. Don't let it happen anymore.
So tell everybody what you're up to, because it's a lot. You've been, like, all over the place with your TV show and stuff.
A lot. Yeah, we got a new channel called Touch Vision. It's an all news, all digital channel. But we're also on television. There are no anchors. As a matter of fact, the only consistent on air personality is me. I do commentary every day, Monday through Sunday. But we do news movies where we just take the facts, put them to music, give you some video, and let you figure the story out on your own. It's nationwide. It's on tablets, internet,
and how do we
phones.
Find it?
Go to touchvision.com or go to your phone and look up the app. TouchVision is an app. If you're in Milwaukee or Chicago, it's on TV. Check your local listings. And if you're looking at your TV right now, there are commercials for it on ESPN and MTV. Will be nationwide soon. You'll be able to turn into your television or look at your laptop, whatever. We'll be on any device that you have that shows media.
All right. Well, there you go. And Hunter Cross, how you doing? Where have you been?
I'm great, thanks. How you doing, Max?
Good. Hunter, I got you addicted to a Jan Levon song, Fix My Life. Isn't it like one of the best shows right now on TV?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if you all have seen it, you know, there's been some really hot topic stuff in the news. You all heard about, or how do you even say her name? Oriana? What's her name, Felonious?
That's her name, Oriana.
Oriana. Now, let's go back to the mama in the van in New Mexico. Hunter, set it up real quick.
Well, apparently she was driving and she was exceeding the speed limit. She was pulled over by police officers who were, you know, they were basically telling her that she had to agree that she was going to pay a specific fine or that she was going to go to court. And she was, you know, being difficult at the time and making a decision. And the officer was becoming increasingly agitated. And then at one point, she pulled away and drove off. And he had to drive after her again. And finally, drive after her again. He caught up with her again. He called back up. And she was clearly resisting. I don't think there's much doubt about that. If you watch the video, she did not want to deal with this issue. She just thought if she ran away, it would go away. And then the police went out of control. They started smashing her car, smashing the windows. By the way, she had five children in the car, and smashed the windows.
But now, hold on. Let's go back, because the son at one point jumps out of the car to protect his mother. 14-year-old son jumps out of the car. The cop has got a taser gun. He doesn't know if it's a real gun, a taser gun. I would have gotten out, too, to protect my mother. What would you have done, Felonious?
The kid did the right thing. I think we fast forwarded too much, though. I think the first thing is the mother was aware that she had five kids in the car too, mm-hmm. and at no point did she think, "Hey, this is dangerous, and I've got my five kids in the car. Let me protect my kids." She put them in danger, and you know, granted, the son got out. What he did was wrong. What she did was wrong. What the cops did later was wrong. But the first priority, I think, the adult in the situation is the mother. Those are her five kids. The cops shouldn't even care about your kids more than you should. So, yeah, okay, once the son got out, that's when she should have stopped it. She should have stopped everything and said, wait a minute, this is going too far. My 14-year-old got out. Remember, one of her smaller kids, the 6-year-old, also got out, and the mother had to hold her back. At that point, as a parent, you need to end this. There's no getting back in the car, nothing to do. At that point, she should have turned herself in. She should have stopped everything because her kids were in jeopardy.
Now, here's the thing, because what I don't get is, and this has been the hot topic, because the cops then start shooting at the car.
Right.
Like, it's not funny. The cops started shooting at the car, and Hunter, give us the legalities about that, because I know it's in New Mexico, but there are state laws where cops can't shoot. Isn't that correct?
Well, apparently, and I'm certainly not an expert on this issue. However, my understanding is that the Supreme Court of the United States had ruled on this issue a number of years ago, where in the 80s, they ruled that it was never permissible for a police officer to shoot at a car for a traffic stop or shoot at a car to try and disable its tires and things of that nature. It's just simply, it's an absurdity that a police officer could just shoot with such precision to shoot out the tires of a vehicle, especially when there was no indication that she was armed, there was no indication that she posed any direct threat to the police officers, and it was apparently in direct inconsistency with the Arizona rules of engagement. These cops just went out of their minds. I mean, I agree with Felonious that this the woman who drew the driver, she started this ball rolling, but it went out of control. And the people who are trained to maintain control and the people who are trained to act within the limits of the law went out of their minds. She gets a little bit of license for getting a little kooky. She was pulled over. She was under stress. She had five kids in the car. Who knows what was going on in that car when they pulled her over? You know, I get it. The mom was stressed. She acted like a nut. No question about it. But the people who were trained to behave in a professional manner went out of their minds, smashing
the car windows in.
Well, Felonious, here's my question to you, Felonious, because what pisses me off a lot is that the mom gets arrested, the kid gets arrested, all the other little kids, they're all lying on the ground like there's a major drug bust going on, and these cops, nothing happened.
No.
Well, there's two problems. The first thing, when he bashed, and I work with a couple of officers that do a piece for Touch Vision, and we discussed that case. And when he tried to break the window the first time, he didn't do it within procedure. Just the way that he tried to do it. Not the fact that he shouldn't have done it at all, but the fact that he didn't do it, he saw that it didn't break on the first one. The second one was anger. You got five kids in the car. The glass is going to shatter into the car. You risk injuring someone just because the kid wouldn't pull the window down. Again, this is a traffic stop for speeding. Now, at worst, it's another traffic stop for evading and eluding. But you have her name, you have her license number, you know who she is, you know where she is. Worst case scenario, you give her another ticket. She doesn't have to go to jail for it. But the shooting, I watched the guy shoot. There's no way possible he could have hit her. He definitely missed the tire three times because he didn't disable the vehicle. So what if he misses into the vehicle and hits one of the kids? Now this isn't cute at all. So, yeah, they arrest the mom, they arrest the kid, but there's no telling whether or not they said they took him off the beat, but they don't say whether they're suspended with pay, without pay. What bothers me is they clearly committed a crime. It's visible, it's a crime, and the fact that they have a badge does not give them license to commit crime. I mean, we saw it. We're not guessing maybe they did something wrong.
No, they did it.
We saw the guy shoot at a car.
Now, let's back up because, you know, this is also a race issue. Let's just call a spade and let's just call a thing a thing. Here we go again. The cops, three white cops, black family in the van, Felonious, you feel me?
what's frustrating is you can't ever prove racism unless someone says, a racial slur. And I can't tell you that they definitely were treating them differently because they were black. I can't say that and say I'm 100% sure. I can have a strong-ass feeling about it, though. I can have a strong-ass feeling that the way that that was conducted would have been different if those children weren't our little black kids. That's how I feel about it. The screwed up part about this is I'll never be able to prove it, and that's going to obfuscate the issue, which is he shouldn't have shot into the car. I don't give a damn if there's a pale Indian kid in the car. He shouldn't have shot into the car, and he's not arrested, and that's a problem. And it's going to be a problem with Lanisha McBride and Trayvon Martin and all of these other cases are going to be brought into it. And it's really a case of cops overreaching. And the other thing is the cop says, well, you know, we're protecting the citizens. That's why we tried to disable the car. They were a threat. Well, there's enough in the courts that says cops aren't even supposed to protect and serve. They don't have a responsibility to protect and serve. There have been women who called, men who called the police, and the police didn't come to protect them because they don't have to. That's the law, apparently.
Okay.
So they shot the tires out. That's reckless at worst. That's reckless. I mean, at best, that's reckless. But in reality, come on, man. You could have killed one of these kids. You could have killed anyone. There were cars driving by. I don't know if you saw that. There was an officer that ran. He actually ran across the guy's sight line.
Oh, yeah.
There was nothing professional about that. They were out of control, and the fact that all they did was get, you know, taken off the beat is ridiculous. They should have been
absolutely
arrested for the crime.
What about the rights of those five children in that car? Those five children were not driving that car. They didn't resist arrest. They didn't do anything,
right.
And yet they were put in the line of fire by these maniacs shooting at the back of this car.
No,
I mean, it's hard to imagine that if this were some kind of a bank robbery and the robber was at the front of the bank, that they would shoot through a crowd of bystanders to try and get at the robber. That's what they did. They were shooting past five children to try and get at this driver. It's unbelievable.
Well, what I want to talk about. Hunter, what should happen?
Well, I think that they should be looking into civil rights violations. I think there's federal civil rights violations that went on here. And I think that unless the United States government stands up for people who are subjected to this kind of just irresponsible police work. Obviously, not every policeman would behave in this way. But these particular police officers did. And they need to be called on the carpet in a big way for this. They can't just let this happen.
Listen, I go back to Rodney King, Felonious, when all there's going to be riots, don't you think?
You know why I don't think there'll be riots?
Come on.
Only because, and I'm going to tell you why I don't think there'll be riots. First of all, New Mexico is a weird place. We know that. New Mexico's got a lot of stuff going on just in their own government, and that's a pretty strict, listen, I don't put it past New Mexico police to fire on people just because. Remember, that's the same state where they're just grabbing, are you from here? Where are you from? It's your paperwork. I need to know that you're, you know, that area is going crazy anyway. But the reason I don't think there'll be riots is because I think the Renisha McBride case was a bigger issue to riot on, and they didn't riot then. I don't know what's happening with people that's not something to riot over.
Yeah, but let's talk about the truth about this, is that these are officials. These are police officers, just like
Definitely.
They beat Rodney King. So the thing is, if nothing happens to them, I think people stand up more when they are like official police, you know, and they go after them.
I hope you're right.
Zimmerman is a rent-a-cop, and we're going to talk about him in a minute. But I think, like, look, I always talk about this and people think I'm crazy. When you look at South Africa, one of the reasons why South Africa became free was because the people rioted. They burned things down. They fought. In this country, we got to stand up a little bit and start screaming and shouting and not just barking. We got to start biting, because it's not okay when three police officers put five children at risk. That's all.
You got that blue line that people won't cross. And Hunter alluded to it when he said, you know, clearly it's not every police officer. Most police officers do not and would not do what they did. However, when it comes time for the people to stand up, the police officers will band together. And that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But even an armed populace is not prepared to take on an armed police force.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's one thing about this case where I think the woman whose name I cannot pronounce her name, the driver of the car, where
Oriana.
I think Oriana. I think that she, in my mind, she loses credibility. I saw something on TV the other day where she had written this letter suggesting that because of the black experience in America, that she has an inherent distrust and fear of the police, and that that's why she tried to drive away, because she was afraid of the police.
Wait, Felonious, there's truth to that?
That there's an inherent distrust between black people and the cops? Yeah, that's an accurate statement. On the other
but
hand...
I don't think it was what was going on here. If she had signed that piece of paper, she would have been sent on her way.
There's two parts to that. One of the things that, if we're being 100% honest here, one of the things that most black families know and they teach their kids is when the police stop you, do everything the opposite of what she did. You don't create a scene. You don't put yourself in a position where they may shoot at you. You don't run away. You don't. We know, keep your hands on the thing. When they ask for your paperwork, you give them your paperwork. When they hand you the ticket, you bite your lip, you sign the paperwork, and screw it up. That you can't question it or stand up for your rights if you think they've been violated. But what you don't do is what she did, and then come back later and say her response was the black response, especially when you got your five kids in the car.
Well, let's move on from this.
Parent response.
All right,
she had weed in the car too.
All right, whatever on the weed. What I got to talk
sign
about
the damn
is,
thing and let's be on your way. That's what I pointed.
But she didn't, and this is going to be a bigger story because, again, you have five minors, three cops, bullets involved, shattered glass. It's a problem, America. Mm-hmm. We got to wake up. And, you know, the car says to protect and serve. The only thing cops are serving lately are attitude. So
it's just hard to imagine what comes across a cop's mind when he starts shooting at the back of a car that was going 5 miles over.
Oh, you know what was coming through his mind? This bitch ain't getting away. I'm stopping her and her five kids and the one that jumped out. Because you know what was all – but if you go –
That's what it really was about. When the kid jumped out of the car, the cops got mad. And a cop is supposed to, again, they're human. Yeah, they're human, but they're trained professionals. They're supposed to reel that in. They're supposed to control their emotions and do what they've got to do. And they did.
We got to go. We got to move on from this story because we could be here all night just talking about this. And hopefully when Oriana, she's still in jail. When she gets out, we want you on the show, girl. Tell your side of the story. Pull the race card if need be. But she'll be moving forward to another crazy... crazy story. I mean, we've had Zimmerman's brother on the air. We spoke to him. Very cool guy. We liked him a lot. Down to earth. Has nothing to do with the Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin story. And his life has been severely affected by this, just by name association. Zimmerman, we all swore that he gained all that weight so that when he would be let free, that he would lose it and disguise himself and go off and moved to Switzerland or something. He didn't leave Florida. He got arrested. This is what, like the third or fourth time, Felonious? I can't stop laughing at this case with this guy.
This guy's an idiot. First of all, I don't have any sympathy for him. I don't care anything about what happens to him. I will say this. We can't pretend that this case didn't change his life. I think what it may have done, unfortunately, is make him feel bulletproof. He's been extremely arrogant, not just with the cops where, you know, and I think the cops have enabled it. You pull him over for, he got stopped three times for speeding, I think, and a couple of the times they let him walk. Then you get, you know, stopped for his wife calls the police on him and they come through, they let him walk. So here again, he's with the new girlfriend, which, let's be fair, what woman in her right mind says, oh, this guy's a nice-looking guy. What's your name? Oh, George Zimmerman, that's a familiar name. I think I should date you. Get the hell out of here. Zimmerman.
That's okay, though. Look at women who go out with guys who are in jail, literally still in jail, and they start dating because of pen pals. But the problem is...
But no victim blaming. It's not her fault that he's batshit crazy and broke all of her stuff and pulled an AR-15 and a gun on her. The question remains... Who thought it was a good idea to let this guy keep his guns after the first
Florida?
Domestic abuse isn't a new thing for him. Remember, there was a domestic abuse allegation before the Trayvon Martin case. This isn't the first time. This guy has a violent history. He's got a violent history with a police officer that was dismissed. He said, you know, so because they're all dismissed, we're going to keep pretending like he didn't do the shit. He did it. He got into a fight with a cop.
Listen, I am hardly an apologist for George Zimmerman, but let's look at some facts. This guy Either is a cold-blooded killer who was just involved in a brutal murder and was tried for it and got off, or he was in a horrible accident where somebody died at his hands and he was tried for murder and got off. Either of those scenarios, whichever one, you know, your personal point of view is, that, you know, as far as what actually happened, because we weren't there. So let's just assume you pick one of those things. One of those things happened. That's a huge, huge impact on anyone's life to go through what he went through. He's got to have some kind of post-traumatic stress disorder. He has to have.
Come on.
This guy has got to be fucked.
Come on. Post nothing.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. As a matter of fact, I believe Goldie Taylor made the same point on MSNBC, which is basically we failed him after the case. If you're going to let him free, you have to acknowledge that this has affected him somehow. And
how could it not affect him?
Now, personally, screw him. You know, I struggle to have sympathy for him just because it's something about him, and I don't know him. None of us know him, but there's something about him that makes me uncomfortable. It makes me feel like he did it. It makes me feel like he knows he did it. And then the phone call that he made to 911, where he says, "I just wanted to make sure that the truth was out there," and he was extremely calm. That was unsettling to me. That was
a guy who was playing
the system, who knew what the system was about and said, "Hey, my name's George Zimmerman. This call is going out, so let me sound like I've got some sense," because she sounds crazy. He could have given that same story to the police officers, but he didn't. He made the phone call to 911 because he knew it would get aired and it would make the people who may be leaning toward giving him the benefit of the doubt go, "Yeah, look, keep calm. George wasn't angry. That was her being crazy. She was never pregnant, according to the record." He told a story about her being pregnant and telling him that he wasn't going to have the baby. She says, "I'm not pregnant. What the hell is he talking about?" So there's, with him, there's always so much extra stuff, and he's always the common denominator. You start to go, "No, nothing's crazy. You're crazy. It's George Zimmerman. He's the one. He's that shit crazy, and we letting him walk around." And a $9,000 bail seems like...
Is he batshit crazy because we, the American public, made him batshit crazy, or did he start out that way? We don't really know. That's what I'm trying to say. He's affected by what he went through. How could anybody not be affected by that? If you were involved in a situation where someone died at your hands and you intended for that to happen, that's traumatic. And then you get tried for murder, that's traumatic. If on the other hand, what happened was a horrible accident that he never intended to happen, a young man died at his hands, that's traumatic, and then he was tried for murder, that's traumatic. The guy has to be fucked up. You cannot go through that without coming out the other end and being a basket case. Yeah, Max, I agree with you. He should have gone far, far away and tried to like get his thoughts together. Go up to the top of a mountain and try and find your peace. But instead, he's just back in Florida with his guns, dating, seems like. It's nuts.
Well, we're dating. It's unbelievable. The story continues. The saga continues. It's not the last we heard of him. Double Jeopardy.
What do you think his profile on Match.com says?
I think he's on J-Date. I don't think
he's enough J for J-Date.
But, you know, we were talking the other night. We were just with someone the other night. They said, you know, type in when you're looking for love online, type in what you like. What do you think this woman wrote?
That's the question.
Gun-toting criminal.
Gun enthusiast, alpha male. I don't know what you put in to get George Zimmerman. That's a hell of a combination.
Right.
Well, you know what?
She probably put in gun enthusiast and Teflon with the law. That's what she put in.
Well, you know what? We're putting in carving the turkey, bitches, because we got to move this segment on. It's Thanksgiving this week. Felonious, you ready for Thanksgiving?
I am not ready for Thanksgiving.
All right, then you got to get
the book. With my kids in Virginia, so
all right.
Sad.
Well, when you get the book, if you need some help in the kitchen, the book is called "Carve the Turkey, Bitches." So check that out, because Jason's
I'm getting it just because it says "bitches" on it. Sounds dope.
Right? And that's just one of them, because the other one is Get in the Kitchen, Bitches. So check out his website, bitchcooks.com. Jason is joining us in a moment. Hunter, you ready for the holidays?
Oh, yeah.
You are? Well, no. I'm ready to get my mom on the air with us because my mom and I got a new cooking show coming out called Max and Mom in the Kitchen. We're going to give you some holiday advice here. But until then, we're going to transition this crazy show, Max and Friends, to the holidays. Happy holidays, everyone. And when we're back, my mom is here and Jason is joining us from bitchcooks.com. Hey, come back and join us in a minute. Felonious, Hunter, thanks for joining us. Have a great holiday. Happy everything. Thanks, talk to you guys soon. Happy holidays, everyone, on Max and Friends, LA Talk Radio. We'll be right back. I got to take a breath from
happy
that segment.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday. May the calendar keep ringing happy holidays to you.
Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Tweet me at Max Tucci. Welcome back, everyone. Happy holidays. Can you believe we're playing that? I was in the store the other day. I was like, I can't with this music already. And I just don't know where this year has gone and why there's Christmas trees at Home Depot. But it blows my mind and it's really crazy. My mom is joining us tonight. How you doing, Mama?
Hi, Max. How are you, sweetheart?
Well, I'm excited because you and I are involved in a new cooking show called Max and Mama in the Kitchen. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You having fun?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we've got a great guest on tonight, Mom. And the kind of reason why I'm doing this with my mom tonight is because we're going to be hosting this kind of a show where it's my mom and I on air with guests. So y'all know Jason because he's been here before. Bitchcooks.com. Mom, do you know how to carve the turkey?
Well, I should hope so by now. I've been carving it for 50 years, yeah.
Well, in case you don't know how to carve the turkey, Jason's going to tell us how, because his book is called Carve the Turkey, Bitches, and I couldn't agree more. Bitch, get in the kitchen, bitches, and bitchcooks.com. Go to bitchcooks.com. You've heard Jason here before. I feel crazy tonight because I just had the craziest segment before this, so we're going to get right into the good old times of the holidays and how to cook and what to cook and how to carve the turkey, bitches. Welcome back, Jason.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I think we're going to lighten it up a little bit for the next couple minutes.
Yeah, we need to lighten it up because that mama who's in jail, Miss Oriana, I don't know if she's going to have Thanksgiving with her kids, but in case she needs to carve the turkey bitches, she's going to know how. So tell us about your new book because it's really great. We spoke about it last time you were here, but it's ready now. The holidays are here. Those turkeys are going in the oven. How do we carve the turkey?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thanks for having me back again. My first book, of course, was Get in the Kitchen, Bitches, and then this one came out just November 1st. It's Carve the Turkey, Bitches, and it's all holiday recipes. You know, it's really not just Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah. You got New Year's, and you even got some 4th of July barbecue recipes as well. Yes. Kwanzaa, actually, I don't have any recipes for Kwanzaa at this moment. I wasn't an expert in that, so next.
But you got spices for Kwanzaa.
I got a bunch of spices. Yeah, I guess we can use a bunch of those.
That's good.
So
what's the best way? What's the best way to cook the turkey?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to give you, in the book, I've got a bunch of tips, but, you know, the main tips I can give you is don't stuff that turkey. You don't want to put that stuffing in the turkey, and the reason really is simple. The stuffing does not really get to the appropriate temperature, and by the time that it does get to the appropriate temperature, you're going to go and burn that turkey, so you don't want to. That's the first rule of cooking your turkey. Second is, you know, season it all over the place, inside, outside, under the skin. It's not a 20-pound turkey is not a chicken breast. One teaspoon of salt and pepper is not really going to work for it. So you got to really shove. You got to get your hands dirty. Just, you know, get them right in there. You know, shove. Don't be afraid to fist that bitch.
You got to fist the turkey.
Exactly. Got to do
now,
that.
You know, my mom's got a great tip. Mom, tell us about your little tip for the turkey and what you do with it.
Well, I have been doing this for many years, and I think it's a fabulous tip, and a lot of people kind of look at me cross-eyed when I tell them, but I soak cheesecloth. I get a pan, and I put a stick of butter in, and I let the butter melt, and then I put the cheesecloth into the pan, and I let it soak up the butter, and then I put it on top of the turkey. On the chest of the turkey and on the thighs and on the wings, and I tell you that turkey comes out so juicy and so delicious.
Ooh!
So that,
how are you doing?
Yeah. Do you
Mom,
do that,
do you...
Jason?
Yeah, that sounds like a great tip. I mean, what you're doing really is you're keeping the bird from burning because you have moisture on top of it, which is really good, and of course the butter gives a great flavor to it as well. And,
yeah.
You know, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I do, I like to put a little bit of wine actually in the pan itself to keep the oven really moist. And so as long as you keep the oven moist and keep the temperature somewhat low, you know, between 300 and 350, you're going to have a low, slow cook with a nice, moist, aromatic oven, and that's a great tip, yeah. So,
see?
Yeah, that's
Mom,
great.
Jason could cook in our kitchen anytime, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, Mom, do you fist the turkey? Do you fist that turkey, Mama?
Well, actually, you know, Jason was talking about butter, about salt,
seasoning.
And pepper, you know, putting it under the skin. Well, I put some butter under the skin also, and I find that also helps.
Butter that bitch up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was getting a little nervous. I'm talking to your mom about fisting the turkey here, but I guess she could take it.
She can take it. My mom's in the kitchen always with the martini, so that's how the show goes. But
very nice.
So here we go. Carve the turkey, bitches. The holiday is just around the season. If you need help, it's just around the corner. If you need help, go to bitchcooks.com. You can buy the books there. You can buy the season there. Jason's joining us tonight because he's going to give us more tips on how we can have a really nice Thanksgiving with the title Carve the Turkey, Bitches. Are you offended yet? Good. That's what we want you to be on Max and Friends tonight. Not every night, but tonight we're going there because we got that energy from Felonious and Hunter being here. So we're just going with the theme of craziness tonight and good times. Get in the kitchen, bitches. Well, Mom, speaking about getting in the kitchen, what is your favorite thing during the holidays to cook, Mom?
Oh, you mean during Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I like my stuffing. I absolutely adore my stuffing, and I don't know why I only make it on Thanksgiving. But it's, I make my own cubes. I buy the bread a few days ahead, and then I
you
cube
do your
it,
thing.
And then I,
give
yeah,
us the
I
recipe in a
thing.
Minute. Jason, what's your favorite thing during the holidays to make?
Yeah. I like to make a lot of things, but I love to take ingredients from the holidays and spice up. I know a lot of people just stick to tradition. I'm not that way at all. One of my favorite dishes, actually, the recipe's on the website as well, is my sweet potato jalapeno and bacon fritters. And they're basically,
ooh,
it's just a little spicy and salty and delicious, and of course deep fried. So that's always a great thing. So.
We're making those. You know, it was funny because I'm going to Colorado for Thanksgiving, so the kitchen at the house there isn't even done yet. So there's going to be no Thanksgiving for me. But I was watching Wendy Williams the other day, and she's like, all I'm doing at 3 a.m., I'm waking up at 3 a.m. in the morning, I'm putting some turkey wings in the slow cooker, and at 3 o'clock the next afternoon, we're going to have turkey wings. I'm like, that sounds good. I want to have turkey wings this year. But you know one of my favorite things is the ghetto cranberry sauce. Cut the can open, and it still has the numbers on the top and everything. I love that just chunk of sugar with color. But speaking of chunk of sugar with color and cranberry sauce, Mom, what do you do with your cranberry sauce? Because it's amazing.
Oh, well, I do that cranberry relish where I do the raw cranberries and oranges cut up with the skin on, and I put them in a blender, and I blend it, and I put a little honey in for some more, a little more sweetness, and sometimes if I have a little black brandy, just a spoonful, and I whip that up, and it's a delicious cranberry relish. It's really out of this world.
For all you listening tonight, if you want these recipes, tweet me at Max Tucci, because we'll get them to you. What, Mom?
No, I was going to say, you know how much we enjoy the turkey with my Lily, my granddaughter, your niece, and she would always say, Nana, let's just pull the turkey out of the oven and let's pig out and pick on it. Forget the table, forget the setting. Let's just rip it apart. And
that's
we are going to do it that way.
Right? That's how you carve the turkey, bitches. Just rip it apart, right, Jason?
Absolutely.
How do you do your cranberry sauce?
Actually, I've got three great recipes for cranberry. I've got one that is a lemongrass and orange cranberry sauce. It's typical cranberry sauce, but you just put a couple of sticks of lemongrass in there and some orange zest in there, and it just has this great light flavor. And another great thing is to add pineapple to your cranberry sauce, and that works amazing. And then the sweetness of the pineapple. I use cranberry and pineapple in so many different things. One of my desserts, my pumpkin cranberry pineapple cheesecake, is phenomenal. It's just, you get the tartness of the cranberries and the sweetness of the pineapples, and it works just amazing. And then I do a savory version of my cranberry sauce, where I actually put my smoky pole barbecue spice in there. And so it's really an onion sort of barbecue cranberry sauce, and that actually works really well with turkey as well.
Wow, Mom, that pineapple sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm getting hungry.
That's eight.
Right?
Oh, my goodness.
Now, here's the thing. You know, it's fun. The holidays are here. They're just literally this week ahead. Everyone is, like, going crazy. Everyone is going hectic. What's the best turkey to buy? I just got a tweet. So, Jason, what do you think the best turkey to buy is?
You know, I've never done a study, but I mean, obviously, Butterball is the biggest provider of turkeys in the country, and they seem to know what they're doing. So, go safe, go Butterball. That's what I'd say.
Mom, what do you say?
Yeah, I have actually used Butterball turkeys for years and years. But if you remember, Max, last year we bought a all natural turkey. Do you remember?
I do. We got at Publix.
Yeah, at Publix, and it was excellent. It was really, really good. But the Butterball never fails.
Yeah,
if
you want to spend the extra money for an organic, you'll get the flavor, that non-chemical flavor, which is great. And I'm sure you had a great one last year like that. So.
Oh yeah, I like Publix too. Publix hooks us up. How you doing, Publix? Happy holidays, Publix, to you and yours. Hey, Jason, how can people tweet you?
I'm at Get in the Kitchen, or I've got my Facebook page, which is Get in the Kitchen Bitches Cookbook, facebook.com/GITKB. And you can definitely get in touch with both those places, as well as my bitchcooks.com website.
Now, what's the ultimate tip you can give us for the holidays, Jason?
the ultimate tip is just, you know, have a plan. Have a big plan, because if you don't have the plan and everything written down, you're going to screw up somewhere. In my book, actually, I've got a whole, plan 3 weeks out. You know, you have a planning guide. So you say, you really should have started about 2 weeks ago to make sure you're getting everything in order if you're hosting this year. But the plan is the most important thing you have to do. And here's one thing. Defrost, if you have a frozen turkey, every 5 pounds should be 1 day. So if you got a 20-pound turkey, 4 days in advance, start defrosting it tomorrow. And, you know, you don't want a frozen turkey. That's the most common mistake you can make when you're doing Thanksgiving. So.
I just got a tweet about a honeysuckle turkey. What's a honeysuckle turkey? I don't know. It says, I do honeysuckle white turkey. It's good. Mom, have you heard of honeysuckle white turkey?
No, I haven't. Not at all.
Oh, you got to hit me back up and let me know what... I don't know. I love getting tweets because I find out about some really cool things, honeysuckle. If you all want some Thanksgiving tips, you're tuning in at the right time to Max and Friends, because author of, I love the name of this book, Carve the Turkey, Bitches, is here with us, Jason, and my mama's here with us, because we're giving you Thanksgiving holiday tips. You know, they don't just go Thanksgiving. They go throughout the rest of this year, which is not much left. We got about a month and a half to go, less than a month and a half, and the holidays are fast approaching. The turkeys are being bought up. You know what I love about Thanksgiving is the day after, Target has all those frozen turkeys, Mom. You know, like we always do the after Thanksgiving party. And this year, I'm telling you, Mom, go to Target and get yourself that Butterball frozen turkey, because they are good and they're like $4 for like a 20-pound turkey. I swear, it's amazing. It's amazing. You can't go wrong. So, Jason, your book, Carve the Turkey, Bitches, people can go get it now at bitchcooks.com. Why did you do a holiday book?
I thought it was just a good next step. People were asking me a lot about holiday recipes, and I had, you know, the first one was Get in the Kitchen, Bitches, the second one's Get Back in the Kitchen, Bitches, and so I was in the midst of writing two, and the holidays were coming up, and I said, you know, let me just get the holiday one out, and lots of great recipes in there. Lots of great tips, actually. You're just talking about the day after. I have tons of leftover recipes. You can make delicious turkey chili with habaneros. You've got turkey pasta, you know, turkey marsala pasta. I mean, there's about 20 different leftover recipes.
You know, we do one that originated at a restaurant. We do turkey a la king. And my mom and I just did that down here at the Florida Home Design Remodeling Show. We did a whole great cooking demonstration for a bunch of people down there. So thank you all at the Home Design Remodeling Show in Fort Lauderdale. We had a good time. But we do turkey a la king, and we do the easy way, right, Mom? We take those chunks, those cubes of turkey, we cube them up, and then we get some Campbell's soup, cream of mushroom Campbell's soup. Throw that in the pot, a big pot, large stock pot. Get those cubes of turkey, throw them in there, cooked obviously already, the leftovers, people. And then you get some really, really good peppers, red peppers, yellow peppers, green peppers, some mushrooms. Mom, what mushrooms do you like to use?
The cremini, because I think they have a wonderful taste.
And you saute those with some onions and put them all together, throw it in that pot, let it cook. Oh, it's really good. And I like it over some white rice, or you could do those pastry puffs and just do turkey a la king, the Oscars Delmonico original style. Hey, Jason, have you seen Wonder Bread?
Have I seen it?
Have you seen it? Have you seen it in the supermarkets recently?
Now that you say that, I have not, actually. I grew up in New York, so it was always there. Now I'm in Chicago, but I don't know I haven't seen Wonder Bread for a real long time, actually, now that you say that.
It's crazy, because I was looking for Wonder Bread the other day, because when we do turkey a la king growing up, I just love that Wonder Bread. And I grew up in New York, too, so you put the turkey a la king right on top of the Wonder Bread. Now I can't find Wonder Bread. I was like, what? It can't be possible that Wonder Bread is gone. Wonder Bread, where are you? Let me know. Tweet me at Max Tucci.
Well, also, you guys are very young, but when I first came to America in 1949, they had Tip Top Bread. And that was like Wonder Bread, and that disappeared a long time ago. But it was a delicious white bread.
All right,
so
There you go. Speaking about white, it's the honeysuckle white. We just got it here from a tweet, Max. It's just the brand I buy. It's called Premium Honeysuckle White, because great taste is everything. Extra tender and juicy. All right, Honeysuckle White. This tweet, we just got this great tweet. She tweeted us, I'm cooking for way too many people, about 30 people. But it's my family and I love it. Special since I don't have to clean up after. And then they say, hi, Mama Tucci. And then they write, I soak my turkey 24 hours in turkey brine. Makes it moist and juicy and has a great flavor. Have you done that, Jason?
I have not. I typically don't brine my turkeys, but it does produce great results. You know, the salt sort of breaks down the salt content just breaks down the tenderness of the meat, and it makes it really just delicious and juicy and tenderness. A lot of people swear by it. I have a couple simple tips that I use, and it always works for me. You know, as I said, you don't stuff it. You season it inside and out. You cook it in a low temperature, aromatic, moist oven, and then you baste it. You know, a couple times basting. You know, just makes it look pretty, really. But I definitely like to baste, and then give it a rest. Make sure to give it a rest at the end. Don't go out and don't take it out of the oven and cut it within. Leave it for at least 20 minutes, and make sure those juices redistribute.
Sounds good to me. Hey, everyone, if you want more information on these recipes, tweet me at Max Tucci, hashtag Thanksgiving Tips, and we will get you the recipes. Mom, what do you have to say before we let you go about Thanksgiving?
I can't wait. That's all I can say.
Yeah, you can't wait because you're not doing a big deal this year.
No, but just, you know, have friends bring something also, which helps a great deal.
Absolutely.
Have somebody responsible for the you know, dessert or the vegetables. This way it makes it easier for the hostess. So that's my last tip for the day.
That's
Otherwise,
your tip.
I can't. That's my tip. Okay.
All right. You know, my tip is go to facebook.com/wonderbread because they got a page there. Thanks, Ronan, for finding that for me. Ronan just did some research on where Wonder Bread is. If you all are wondering who Ronan is, he's the one that runs the show behind the scenes here. Speaking of Thanksgiving, you got to be thankful. That's number one. So I have a lot to be thankful for this year, obviously. My mom and I got the show, Max and Mama, so stay tuned for that. And Jason, I'm thankful that you joined us tonight to give people Thanksgiving tips. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
And have a wonderful
Thanksgiving. Have a great Thanksgiving. Have
everybody.
A great Thanksgiving, Jason.
Yeah,
absolutely. You too. Really great to talk to you.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Bitchcooks.com. Okay. Carve the turkey, bitches. Jason's joining us, and he's leaving us now with some great tips. Happy Thanksgiving, Jason. Hey, Mama, I got to let you go, too. Happy Thanksgiving. But before we go, everyone, just be thankful. Love one another. And this holiday, I know it's sad for some of us who don't have people in our lives that we love that have gone and departed. But there's a great song that our friend Thomas Hibner writes, and it's Just Can't Believe You're Gone. So this holiday season, for those that are gone, you're always with us in our heart. We love you, and thank you for the memories. Everyone, tune in to Max and Friends every Sunday night here on LA Talk Radio. Go get your free app. Mama, I love you, and I'm going to see you tomorrow. Other than that, everyone, bitchcooks.com is the site to go. Happy Thanksgiving, all my listeners. Just Can't Believe You're Gone now on Max and Friends, LA Talk Radio. Happy Thanksgiving, happy Hanukkah, happy holidays, and I'm thankful for all of you for tuning in to Max and Friends. And this song is for those who are no longer with us. Just Can't Believe You're Gone. By Thomas Hibner. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Mike.
Today hasn't been easy for me. So hard to put a smile upon my face. I know you wouldn't want me to sit and talk around. Though I need to grieve, this hurt with time shall pass. Cause I know that's what you want. Remember you in better times. Live a life to fulfill my dreams. Share these memories that we have. Just can't believe you're gone, my friend. Only two short days ago we laughed. Now so unreal. How it blows my mind. This one strong heart now shattered in two. The pain inside and love just can't undo. To cry I try, if only I could. This I do for only you, my dearest friend. Above us now in a much better place. Just can't believe you're gone, my friend. Only two short days ago we laughed. this hurt has passed, and God lets it rain again to fall upon my face. Then cry with you, 'cause I know what you together.